So, hey guys, welcome back. We have another one for you. Today's guest, you're going to love today's guest. We've had a lot of pre-interviews, a lot of pre-talking. He's a super cool dude, and you're going to love his story and what he's doing. Before we get into that, I want to thank my friends at the Wild West History Association at wildwesthistory.org. I urge you to join, become a member. We got all sorts of membership plans. And this year in 2024, our roundup is in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we would love to see you there. I also want to thank the Tombstone Epitaph at tombstoneepitaph.com, one of Arizona's longest running newspapers. Go to tombstoneepitaph.com, subscribe, and get a true newspaper delivered right to your door. You can take it on a plane, on where you're traveling and going places. You can carry it with you if you're out on an excursion or traveling somewhere in Cochise County or out in the West. You can take that newspaper with you and use it as in your explorations. Again, if you want to subscribe and become a subscriber, go to tombstoneepitaph.com. And I want to thank our new friends, All Things Billy the Kid, the Billy the Kid Coalition. You can find out more about them at btkcoalition.com. That's BTK, Billy the Kid, btkcoalition.com. And that's All Things Billy the Kid. And they've got a lot of cool stuff going on. If you love Billy the Kid and history and New Mexico history, and all the things that are going on in Billy the Kid's life, and you're a Billy the Kid fan, go to btkcoalition.com. So our podcast guest today really came from the BTK Coalition. We have Travis Eller on the phone. Travis, how are you, sir?
Mike, good, man. Thanks for having me.
You came to us from, I think, your relationship with Josh Sletten, right?
Dave Lauterborn.
I take it back. From Dave Lauterborn from Western Magazine, Wild West Magazine. So I take that back. Sorry about that. But if you're listening, Josh, it doesn't matter. I'm plugging you anyway. But that's the beauty of a live podcast. I make mistakes, and you get the mistakes. But you got a cool story, man. You got a lot of stuff going on. Before we get into it, if you want to know more about today's podcast guest, we'll go to Travis Lee Eller. So that's Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S, Lee, L-E-E, Eller, E-L-L-E-R.com. So there's three L's in there. So Travis Lee Eller.com. Make sure that you go in there and you see all the cool stuff. He's got some pictures. And go to his, he's got this movie spot where he's produced and directed his own movies. He's got some cool shorts in there that are great. And I just love that one where that lady's, I guess she like chopped up or cut up your body or something like that. What was that one?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was the dark one.
Yeah, that's an old one. That's like one of the first ones I did. Me and my buddy Andy Greenfield, we used to go out to Joshua Tree every weekend and just try to film something. And we ended up making a series out of that. It's been so long ago. I can't even remember the name.
Yeah, but it's so good. And I watched it a couple of times. It's dark, but it's got a cool story about it. So if you guys go on Travis Lee Eller, make sure that you go all the way through the homepage. Like, just don't look at that beautiful, handsome face, but actually go through all of the... all of the individual things, like movies. He's got a blog, which he's working on the blog, and he's got all the things that he's got going on, and we're going to talk about them, including his new hit show coming up, which is Elkhorn on the INSP network. He's got a bunch of stuff, so make sure if you go to the website, TravisLeeEller.com, that you go through everything and check it all out, because it's a lot of fun. So you got a cool story. I read everything in your bio. You're born in North Carolina. You end up going to school and getting an associate's degree in music business, and you had a DJ business too. Talk about that. Tell us a little bit about you, man.
Yeah. When I was younger, I thought that I wanted to be in music, and I was in music for a while. I did used to DJ, and that was my gig for a while. That was, I would tour the the world doing that. I've been everywhere DJing back in the times when, you know, before digital, and you had to carry vinyl everywhere, which was really heavy getting on an airplane with crates of vinyl. I did that for a long time, years of my life. I would say that was most of my teenage and early 20s on into my 30s. I'm making myself sound really old, but
you're not that old.
Yeah, that was an interesting time in my life. And you know, like everyone's life, it changes. It has its different moments, and certain moments reach certain thresholds. And that's kind of what happened with me. Basically, I was DJing forever, going to clubs and festivals, and like I said, going overseas. I've even went as far as New Zealand to DJ. And then it just kind of ran dry. The well kind of dried up for me. And I got to a point in my life where I wasn't really making enough money to pay the rent. So I decided to do something else. I hit some hard times, actually. The money in DJing was drying up. I was living in L.A. Rent was going up. I had lost my car. I had to kind of reinvent myself and find something different. So I did what I could, and I got a job in a hardware store. And I just was working in a hardware store for years until one day a friend of mine wanted to get me a job on a television show working behind the scenes at the Game Show Network. And that happened, and I became kind of a PA there. Low pay, but I would go around and get everybody's breakfast and you know, see if everybody was okay. And from that, I became a stage manager on the show. And I'm kind of summing up this part of my life a little bit in the, you know, kind of going up the ladder. But after I became a stage manager on the show that I worked on, eventually someone said, hey, we want you in front of the camera instead of behind the camera. And that happened. And then that's where I kind of got the acting bug. And from then on out, it's just been that path.
But can I ask you about the before you move on from the DJ? Did you have a cool DJ name?
Well, I did. Yeah, my DJ name was DJ T-Rock. That was my name. I played. I believe it or not, it's a weird, and people often tell me how odd it is that I went from DJing hip hop music to being a cowboy. Even when I think about it, it's like, wow, it's pretty strange. But I guess that just goes to show, don't judge a book by its cover.
It was T-Rob?
T-Rock, like T-R-O-C-K.
Oh, damn, bro.
Yeah, so I would play mostly hip-hop music, but my set included a lot of rare records as well, like old funk and things with beats and breaks on it, soul music. I was DJing for break dancers and that kind of thing. What? And really, my life has taken many twists and turns and many 180s and almost complete 360s.
Dude, that does. I can't even. Did you have like your hat on sideways and a vinyl yellow jacket? You know, were you walking around going, "Yo, boy, what's up?"
No, I wasn't really. You know, I didn't do the lingo. I was familiar with all that, but I wasn't. Wasn't my thing.
But you know, growing up in North Carolina, though. You know, you said that you took this giant 180 or 360, and you completely re-changed yourself. When you got into the Game Show Network through basically a dry or a friend knew a friend and got you in there, was it like, oh my God, like this is where I want to be. I want to be in television. I want to be in movies. I want to be in entertainment.
It was kind of like that. I guess in general, I've always been a creative person. Like even when I was a kid, I always, I thought I was going to be an artist. I thought I was going to draw. I thought I was going to, I thought that was going to be my career path. It's funny because now that I'm thinking about it, it seems like it's just really hard to make money as an artist. And if you do, you're really fortunate. And I know that now, but maybe I don't think I knew it as much then. But you know, because when you get older and you start accumulating bills, you need to have a job that pays. So for me, when I went to the Game Show Network, it was interesting. I learned a lot from there. I think one of the things, just to be honest, that I thought about being in that environment was how much money one could make doing that, like hosting a show or acting on the show, how much money one could make and have so much fun. And I think that was the attraction for me. I wanted to make money, but I didn't want to really sit in a cubicle all day. And I wanted to do something creative and I wanted to do something fun. And before that, with the music, you know, I'd done a few music videos. So I kind of had my foot in the door with knowing the technicalities of, like, you know, camera angles and editing and all that. I was always interested in that. But when I got there, it just kind of intensified that interest and, you know, helped me propel forward.
So you're on the Game Show Network.
Yes.
Working behind the scenes.
Yes.
This rap star, DJ rap star.
And okay.
I don't know. That's so stupid. And you're working behind the scenes, and then someone, how did it go about that someone said, because it's such an odd story, that someone said, listen, you look great behind the scenes. What would you look like in front of the camera? How did that happen?
I think it was more of a camaraderie thing. I think it was more of when you work for a show long enough, you become really close to the people around you. You become close with the director, the executive producer. You develop this bond, and when you develop a bond, naturally they get to see your sense of humor. There's a lot of jokes flying around the office. You know, people, you know, you judge people obviously on their personality or you know, how well they get along with others. And I think it was more of that, for lack of a better sentence, just for being nice. and they just said one day, hey, you want to be on camera? And I remember the first thing I had to do on camera was cut onions and cry. It was a comedy bit, and it was mostly comedy bits on that. It was a live interstitial show where it was called GSM Live, where people could call in, they could win prizes, and we would come on in between like game show breaks and that kind of thing. It was super fun. It was kind of like a very short, condensed version of Saturday Night Live. That's how I like to describe it. I mean, it felt that way. It was kind of a bonding experience with a lot of people.
Did you have to get a SAG card?
No, I did not.
Oh, no speaking.
There were plenty of speaking roles, but just there's certain situations and circumstances where you get the SAG card, and that just wasn't one of them. I didn't get my SAG card until much later.
Gotcha. So did your family Like, did you call back to North Carolina and go, oh my God, mom and dad, I made it. Watch me on TV. Were your family or huddled around the TV going, oh my God, Travis is on TV?
Yeah, they did that. But I mean, they've always been really supportive of everything that I've done. They've always been there, even through the DJ stuff and then through the television, any kind of gig I got. I mean, my mom and dad would, even if I released the film and it got into some small town film festival, if they were close enough, or sometimes even if they weren't close enough, they would go and see it at the film festival.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just to support my film. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was great.
So you got this thing. You're in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And was it really consistent? Because the reason I say that is it's almost like that Hollywood story of Hollywood and Vine. And there's Travis hanging out at the malt shop, and all of a sudden he's in front of the camera because you hadn't taken, I would assume, you hadn't taken any acting classes. It was just your natural personality that got you in front of the camera. It really is a success story.
I guess so. I mean, I don't really feel successful in a way. You know, I mean, I'm still, everything that I've done, I mean, this sounds cliche, but I've worked hard for it and I really cherish those opportunities, but I've never quit my day job. Let's put it that way. I'm not to the point yet where, I can
make
just,
money on film.
Make my entire career out of, the acting. It's something that I love, absolutely love to do it. It's a challenge and I love the challenges that it offers, but you know, I'm still out here, working a regular job and, going on auditions and trying to, move forward, trying to progress in every way I can. And I take on a lot of jobs because I learned a long time ago that if you don't try, you're never going to get anywhere. And then the other thing I learned that is if you don't promote yourself, then nobody else will.
Right on.
So, and that's just kind of where I'm at, and that's where I've been with any of my artistic ventures.
So
acting being one of them.
Well, I mean, I think that's a cool statement that if you don't promote yourself, nobody else will. Like, you're out there knocking on every door. Are you going on like every cattle call audition that you can? Are you standing on those long lines with your headshot and your bio and saying two or three lines, and the guy goes next, and you just keep going and going?
Early on, I used to do that, but then I couldn't take that anymore.
Oh, wow.
That's not something that I wanted to do. I remember once going to an audition for Quentin Tarantino's Django movie, and I remember getting there, and the line was unreal. It was like 2-3 blocks wrapping around corners. Oh. And then when you finally got up to the front, all they did was look at you and say, yes, no, yes, no. You'd go on one side of the line. Someone else would go on another side of the line. And that was just to be an extra in it. And I just thought to myself, yeah, this is not something that I want to do. I feel like, I could do more than this, and no offense to anyone out there who loves being an extra and doing extra work. I mean, that's by all means not what I'm saying. I just knew that
wasn't for me.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like that was something that was going to get me noticed. I felt like I wanted to tackle something with more meat on it. You know, I wanted to have the lines. I wanted to show, the different emotions and everything that I was capable of. And I needed to do that if it meant that I auditioned for something and got the part, or if it meant I just went out and shot it on my own with a couple of buddies. You know, that's that's as long as I could feed that hunger, I was good.
Well, if you're wondering who we're talking to, we're talking to Travis Eller. You can find out more about him at TravisLeeEller.com. I urge you to go on his website and check him out and see all the cool things that he's got going on and look at the headshots. And listen, if you're somebody that's listening by chance and you know somebody and you've got a part and Travis is, he's got the look, you know, by all means, contact him through the through his website. He'll get a hold of you and let's see if we can't make something happen. You took on roles 2008 and you're moving forward and you're taking on roles and you're going on some auditions and some are right and some are wrong and things are happening. And then you hear about, how did you hear about, the INSP network, and what was the audition process for the new hit Elkhorn? I watched the YouTube video. I can't wait for it to come out. I can't wait to see you. I'm going to be like, I know that guy. but
well, yeah,
how did that come about?
That was interesting. I actually had heard about INSP through a project that I had done with them before. So I had worked with them earlier. They were doing a show called Wild West Chronicles, and it was a new show. They were looking for a lot of, cowboys, outlaws, whatever they could get. I'm a part of of Actors Access, where we can go on there as an actor, and the agents can do it as well. And it lists the projects that, you know, that are now casting. And I submitted myself for a role on Wild West Chronicles. And yeah, just to take you through the audition process, what you do is you show up at the location. There's usually a small waiting area. You're waiting in line. They call you in. They have a pretty nice setup inside. They usually put you in a chair or standing. There's a solid wall behind you or a solid color. It could be a sheet. So there's a reader, so they will read the lines that you don't have, and then you go, and then they record you. And that's what happened. For Wild West Chronicles, I went in, did the reading for a different character, and then they said, hey, do you mind reading for this other guy? Because we think you would fit this other character better. I did that. I got the role. Ooh. And that was the pilot episode of Wild West Chronicles called The Bandit Queen. And it's a story of Pearl Hart and her boyfriend, Joe Boot. And I play Joe Boot.
Really?
On the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Where can we see that?
Oh, you can see that on Amazon. All the Wild West Chronicles are.
Oh, my God, dude. I got to go watch
on
that.
Amazon.
Because
it's the very first episode.
Because I've had John Bosnecker on. John Bosnecker is a New York Times bestseller, and he wrote the historical fact book about Pearl Hart. I think he called it the West's most notorious bandit or most notorious outlaw. And Joe Boot, I mean, he basically got wrangled into some crap. But, you know, she was hard. She was a strong woman during her period and didn't take any crap. So that's crazy. I got to go find that. We could do a podcast just about that. But
so then after that, cut to a couple of years later, I saw an a casting for what was then called Roosevelt in the Badlands, which was based on Roosevelt's time in the Dakota Territory. And I had seen that they were casting for that, and they offered me to come in and read for a role, and I went in. And of course, I knew a lot of those guys in there, which was great. It's always great when you know some of the people, you know, some of the same people putting on the show. I did the audition, and I got a call or an email the next day that said, "Hey, you didn't get the role. we don't think that you're right for this guy, but can you come in and read for this guy?" So a day later, I went in. You know, they send the sides over and what they want you to audition with, and I went in and auditioned for the role of another Joe Ferris, and I got the part. So now on Elkhorn, you will see me as Joe Ferris, who was an actual person who actually existed during that time, and he has, he has a story just like Teddy Roosevelt, and he was a big part of Teddy Roosevelt's life during that time.
So wait a minute. Let's back up.
Okay.
What is it like? No. What is it like now for you as an actor working his butt off to get a phone call to say, "We want you to come in," instead of you standing in a huge line and, you know, with 1,000 other people begging for, you know, crumbs? What's it like in your career where you get a phone call and they call you and say, "Hey, Mr. Eller," or "Hey, Travis, we got a part. We think it's perfect for you. We'd love you to come in. We want you to read for this role. Can you come in tomorrow?" "Yeah, dude, I'll be in tomorrow." When you hung up the phone and it went click, what went through your mind? Because in my mind, I'd be like, "Baby, we're buying a new Cadillac."
Yeah, no. No, that couldn't be even farther from the thought process that I... Because the first thing you hear in that conversation is, "You didn't get the role that you auditioned for. But we would like you..." The second thing is, "But we would like you to read for another role." And then when you get off the phone, or sometimes it's an email... When you are off of the phone, the first thought that goes through your head or my head is, "Well, I better get this one right."
Oh, wow.
Because it's pressure, you know, it's the pressure. The feeling when the pressure is released, when you find out you get the role, and then you know that you can concentrate on the work. Because after that, then it's, you know, you get sent the script and you get sent your parts, and you then can start breaking down the character that you play. I mean, I was looking up actual photos of this man and trying to read as much as I could about him. But initially... Yeah, you're not really thinking, "Yeah, great. This is amazing." No, you're thinking, "I better get it right. I better get this one right. I better study this. I'm going to lock myself in a room. I'm going to know this forward and back. I'm going to know these lines. I'm going to be able to do this with my eyes closed." So that's the thought process at that moment.
So are you a straight, a straight role actor where they don't ask you to now this guy, his name is what, Joe Ferris?
Joe Ferris, yeah.
So Joe Ferris, He's got a little bit deeper voice. I'm going to need you to turn and get a little deeper on the voice. He stumps over a little bit. He drags his left foot. So now I need you to drag that left foot. Are they looking at you like, dude, you're perfect. Don't do anything. Come in for costume and makeup. We just want you. Or did you have to change yourself as an actor and really pull from within to become Joe?
It's a combination. It's a combination of that. I mean, sometimes you get that. In this instance, what had happened was when I went into audition, I had a beard, and they said, would you be willing to shave into a goatee? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So as far as the change goes, that was one of them, which was just a physical appearance. And the other one was the note that they kept giving me was that Joe is a good guy. He's a nice guy. He knows everyone in town. And in real life, the real Joe Ferris was that way. He was a shop owner. He was a cowboy. He was a hunter. He was a postmaster. He wore many hats in town. And so he knew everyone. So it was one of those things where you know going into it that every character you encounter, more than likely, you have a relationship with, so you need to know them. You need to act as if you've known them for a while. No one's a stranger, unless it's very obvious that a stranger comes into town. But other than that, the people in town, Joe knows them. He knows every detail about everyone coming through the town of Medora.
Well, you're going to be able to find Travis and Elkhorn. It'll be coming in April 2024 on INSP TV. If you go to INSP.com, I think it's INSP.com, and if you head over there and look at that, you'll be able to find not only Elkhorn, but you'll be able to find Into the Wild Frontier and also some amazing Western classics like Gunsmoke and Wagon Train. And that's on, is it INSP TV or INSP.com? I think it's INSP.com.
I think so. Yeah, I know that their handle on Instagram is INSP TV. I think it's .com on the... for their website.
Yeah, I think it's INSP.com. And when you go, you're going to want to bookmark that because I have the website bookmarked. And then there's on the upper right-hand corner, there's a little find locator, like find INSP. And if you click on that and put your zip code in, it will tell you all the places where you live, where you can find INSP TV. And you get to watch Elkhorn and you get to see Travis. And you get to see what he's doing, and I can't wait. Again, you talked about the show, the series. It's it says in here that Theodore Roosevelt left high society and moved to the Dakota Territory. When I watched that clip about it, God, it just sucked me right in. So again, go to INSP TV at INSP.com. And remember that INSP.com, that heroes live here. And I'm looking at the clock, see if we have time to talk about the other stuff. I feel like talking about you is more important. No, I'm actually being serious because it's you got a cool freaking story. How has this role, if anything, how has it changed you? Or has it? Like, has it made you more confident because you're now on a major network? Your INSP is growing. I saw like 17% to 20% a year, crazy growth. They've got some insane programming, and now, like, Travis Eller isn't just a dude anymore. That's got an afternoon gig someplace else. I mean, you're in a major network. becoming a major network. You're in a major network show.
Yeah. First of all, I'm really excited about it. I'm really happy about that. Has it changed me? I don't think so. I couldn't really say if it has changed me, how it has. It's not given me any type of big head or anything like that, or no, there's really no ego change. Because like I said, you know, I'm still working my day job. I'm still hustling. I'm still trying to land the next role. If anything, I think the show has given me a little hope, knowing that to be older in life, that I shouldn't give up. That there's no need to give up, because you can catch a dream late in life just as easy as you can early. So I am still not giving up. And when I say that it gives me hope, there's a few things involved with that. I mean, I hope that the show will continue on. I'm very proud of what we did on the show. I'm very happy with the way it's turned out. I've seen a few episodes already. I'm very pleased, and it gives me hope that there'll be a second season and maybe more. And it also gives me hope that there will be more opportunities after the show, so that, you know, when you see what it is that I'm capable of, maybe it's the right thing you need for your project, or you know someone who's looking for an actor to be in a movie and you think I would be great for it. That's the hope. And that's the hope for me to keep on working in this capacity. So that's really the only change I see, because there have been moments where, you know, you get down on yourself. Everyone does it. You're just like, man, what am I doing? Are there any roles going to pop up here? And calling my agent and being like, hey, is anything happening? Any word on the street out there? Any new auditions for me? And, you know, there's a lot of lull time, a lot of slumps, a lot of waiting around. And then when it finally happens, you have to take advantage of it, and you have to be present and in that moment and enjoy that moment and hope for more moments like that.
Well, again, if you're wondering who we're talking to Travis Eller. You can find out more about him at TravisLeeEller.com. To me, it's going to be a hit. So I'm going to say the hit show, the new hit show on INSP. Man. Yeah, man. On the new hit show on INSP TV. The show is called Elkhorn, and it's the story of Theodore Roosevelt leaving high society and moving to the Dakota Territory. You're going to want to see it. Like I said, I've seen the preview trailer on YouTube, and man, it's good. We got about 20 minutes. You think we can cover your other deal in 20 minutes?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So, and if it goes long, I'll wrangle him in for another repeat. I'll wrangle him in for another one. He's got nothing to do. he just said he's got nothing to do. I'm not going to get into how you do it, because it's nobody's business but yours.
Okay.
He's got a hat business that you all need to check out called uglyoutlaw.com. Now, I didn't know anything about Ugly Outlaw. And then I got to looking at it, and even if you can't afford the hats or you are thinking, oh, I don't want to look at it, you have to go to the site, because I have shared your website now with a lot of people. In fact, with hat people. And I've said, you've got to look at these hats. They're insane. Now, he's the creator and the developer and the maker of a distressed hat, but not just in a cowboy. It's all sorts of hats. How did you, again, your secret on how you create the distressed hat, how you come up with the ideas, they're yours, they're proprietary. Nobody needs to know but you. But how did it come about?
Well, it came about because, you know, we can correlate this with the whole acting world, because that's how it came about. I remember I was shooting a Western, and I was supposed to be this outlaw who's lost his horse. He's in the middle of the desert. He has been hiking with his saddle on his back. That's all he's got. He's sweating. He's dirty. He's nasty. And I show up on set, and they give me my wardrobe, and it's clean as a whistle. And as an actor, you know, if you're playing a character, you want to be the character. You want to look the part. And that's why I have so much respect for costume designers and makeup artists, because they really help an actor get you into the part and get your mind to where it needs to be. And this did not happen on this day. And so that, I remember getting the hat, and it was just so clean. And I mean, I've always been infatuated by the hats I had seen in some of the old spaghetti Westerns. And I just wanted it to look rougher, dirtier. I wanted it to look lived in. I wanted it to look like I was an outlaw on the run. I didn't care about what my hat looked like. It was utilitarian, you know, it's a tool. If it's messed up, that's what I wanted it to be. So that got me into learning how to make hats, which involved me watching videos, anything I could find, studying movies, just looking at characters on the screen and the type of hats that they were wearing. I was even looking at old black and white, like really old black and white films, like some of the first black and white Westerns from the 20s, and some of the hats that those guys had. And that was really inspiring. And so I just started modeling my hats after what I had seen and what I had wanted.
Cool. I got a guy that won't stop calling me.
Really?
Yeah, I keep hanging up on him. Like, dude, I'll call you back. See you. There he is again. So he completely stopped me. That's the bad thing about doing live. So these hats, did you end up taking the hat that you had and like throwing it on the ground and smashing it with your foot?
I had asked them if I could do that. And they said yes, but it still didn't get, it did some of the work, but it didn't get as dirty as what I had hoped. So that, you know, just added fuel to the fire when I got home and started thinking about it. And I said, I think I'm going to do this. And I remember when I made my first one, you know, some people said, what, are you going to start selling hats now? And they didn't believe that I would. And here we are. That was in 2018. And here we are, 2024, and still doing it.
Again, you've got to go check this out. It's uglyoutlaw.com. The hats are far from ugly, but they are distressed and they look beat to crap and they're perfect. Like, do you have a showroom? Because when I'm in LA, I've got to come and put one on. I want to see what one looks like.
Yeah, people come by all the time. I've got a couple of garages that I work out of. So yeah, anybody's welcome to come by. If you're in South Pasadena, which is where I am, you can just hit me up and we'll make an appointment. You can come in. I could even size you and, you know, try to fit you in the right hat. You can try some on that are already there. Pretty much every hat that's in my showroom is on the website. But yeah, a lot of people don't trust buying online, so they like to come by anyway so they can try it on. People have weird shaped heads.
Well, I'm a big dude. That's my problem. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", about 285 pounds, and I got a long white beard. I have a long white beard that goes down to about my mid, my midriff, down to about my, I'm trying to work it down to my belly button.
Okay.
My son.
You'd look great in a hat.
What's that?
You'd look great in a hat.
Well, and my son calls it, I love my son. My son calls it a cheap ZZ Top. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me, bro? It started out 4 years ago with him saying real men grow beards and you don't have a beard, so you must not be a real man. Then dad grew the beard, and then dad realized I can grow really long, like a goatee, and now it's all white. It's that coveted white beard, and I don't smoke, so it looks all nice and white, and it's down about mid body. So I think one of your hats would look, that's why I said I've got to come to South Pass and try one on, and we'll go to dinner somewhere.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Oh,
so again, it's uglyoutlaw.com. If you want to know more about Travis, go to TravisLeeEller.com and look for him on the hit show, Elkhorn. That's going to be on INSPTV. If you want to find out where INSPTV is playing, go to INSP Inspiration Television, INSP.com. Find a little locator up there in the upper right corner, put in your zip code, and it'll give all the places you can find INSP playing on your on Cox Cable Communications or DirecTV or whoever, Roku, all the way down to the streaming services, and you're going to want to see Elkhorn. I can't wait. It comes out April 2024. It is going to be fabulous, and I can't wait to see it. And that, again, is from the wonderful folks at INSPTV, Heroes Live Here. Do you have anything that you're working on right now?
Just a lot of hats.
Dude, that was your time to lie.
I have a lot of custom orders right now that I'm working on.
Really?
Yeah, I'm working on a hat. Someone wants a hat that John Wayne wore in The Searchers, so I'm working on that hat. I'm working on a couple of bowlers. I'm working on a couple of hats that I make. You know, they just didn't have them in their sizes, so I'm making the correct sizes for other people. Yeah, I'm doing a lot of hats right now. I do have some auditions lined up. Other than that, no. I mean, I'm just waiting on the show. You know, April 11th is actually the date that the show premieres. And I think it's at 8 or 9 p.m. They've been saying 9, but I heard 8 the other day. But I think it's 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Which would be 5 p.m. Pacific?
Right.
Yeah, right on.
So just making hats and waiting on the show to get going.
All right on. Well, again, if you want to find Travis, you can find him at TravisLeeEller.com. TravisLeeEller.com. If you want to find out about his hats, go to UglyOutlaw.com. UglyOutlaw.com and check out the hats. They are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I've never seen anything like it. It's just a distressed cowboy hat. It's insanely, I want to drop the F word and say it's freaking cool. That's just something about looking at the hat and just be like, damn, dude. Congrats to mom and dad, because I think mom and dad really help you a lot. And I love the fact that they're so supportive. I love that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, and INSPTV, huge thank you to INSPTV. You can find them at INSP.com. All sorts of stuff, including my other friend, Sam Kilborn, Into the Wild Frontier. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. And TV shows and Western history is all on INSP TV. remember that heroes live here. I want to thank everybody on the podcast that listens on Spotify and iTunes. Please, please, please hit that subscribe button, the follow button, and leave a comment. If there's a comment to Travis or a question, I can get it to him. You can also go to his website and ask questions, or you can go to uglyoutlaw.com and ask questions there. But if you want to leave a question about the podcast, please do. If you're listening on iHeartRadio or Stitcher, Podbean, or any other places that the podcast is broadcasting or hearing it from, please leave a rating and review. It totally helps with distribution. You can find me again, like I said, on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I'm just about everywhere. Also want to thank Tombstone Epitaph at tombstoneepitaph.com, the Wild West History Association at wildwesthistory.org, and Billy the Kid Group, BTK Coalition at btkcoalition.com. That's all things Billy the Kid. Anything before we go? One last thing. Anything.
For me?
Yeah.
Anything?
Anything.
No, man. I can't think of anything. I just really appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, my God.
I really appreciate it.
I thought you were going to say come to Shakey's Pizza in West Covina, because they've got Bunch of Lunch and they've got the potatoes. What do they call those potatoes?
You must be hungry.
Dude, I am totally hungry. No, but I love when I come to California, there's like a bunch of places that I go to. Like when I stay in Pasadena, there's a Mexican food restaurant up from Colorado, Colorado Boulevard on the other side of the Teuton called El Torito. I'll go there for Mexican food to El Torito. And then over in West Covina, there's Shakey's Pizza and their Mojo Potatoes. Holy crap. They're Mojo Potatoes. Yeah, got to go there. And then there's some places in L.A. that I like to go to, Tommy's and stuff like that. And, you know, they're just good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, if you come to South Pasadena, we'll go right up the street to Gus's Barbecue. How about that?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. All right, you guys, please, please, please go check out Travis. Tune into INSP TV. Leave some rating and reviews. Go into INSP TV and tell them how much you love Elkhorn, and that you want to see more series, and that you want to see Travis Eller in a title role, in a role, and you demand it. Say, I demand it. And no, I'm just kidding. But please, the show does work off of viewer support. And everybody watching it, you're going to learn a lot of history about Teddy Roosevelt and him moving away from the high society life by moving to the Dakotas. And Travis Eller plays a huge part. I can't wait to see that one. Again, that's INSP TV. And you can find out more at insp.com. Heroes live here. Anything else? I think we're done. Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yep. All right.
All done.
All right. Until next time, I appreciate you guys. Safe travels, and I'll see you soon.